South Haven. If you're a first-time guest, we're very pleased that you decided to give us a try. On the inside of your bulletin is what's called a Connect card. If you would take that out, put down basic information about yourself, and at the end of the service, out the lobby on the right, is a Meet the Pastor station. Give that to him. He will give you a gift. It's a good win-win. If you have something that you need any of the staff to contact you about this week, if you need prayer, you have questions about anything, if you would put that on the Connect card and give that to him or put it in one of the black boxes in the back, somebody will get a hold of you this week. So if you've been coming for a while and you're like, I think I might want to join this church, or if you've got questions about the church, what we believe, why we believe it, on September 24th, after the second service, is the Discover South Haven class. That class is taught by Pastor Richard. It is right after the second service. They're going to feed you lunch. There's child care provided. They will answer any questions that you have about the church. And at the end of that, you have the opportunity to join if you wish to. You are not obligated to join. So if you just want information, that's where you need to be. On September 30th, and yes, we are in September already, this year is just flying by, we have an opportunity for every person here to participate in Love Loud. Love Loud is our one-day mission in this community to serve others. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. There is something for everybody, be it childcare, be it passing out the Bag of Blessings bag, be it washing cars, whatever. Every person in this church is capable of doing something, and we can come together and serve our community. And in the back on the table is the Bags of Blessing. Inside of that is what you need to purchase in the Bags of Blessing. That's a grocery bag that's going to be distributed that day to people that are in need. So if you can please look at that, fill out the brochure, and participate. That's going to be a lot of fun. Last year, a new ministry was started here called MOPS. It's Mother of Preschool Children, and here's a video about that.
Have you ever thought about how one word can change your life? This year, that word is yes. And here's why that's important. Because 50 years ago in 1973, right here on this street, Fenton Street in Colorado, there were a couple of women who decided to say yes to host a meetup for moms in their neighborhood. And little did they know, when only six women were showing up regularly, that that small meetup that they called MOPS would then, 50 years later, extend to 72 countries, 17 languages, and influence over a million moms a year. It's like that part in the Bible where it says, do not despise the day of small beginnings, because God delights to see the work begin. And we never know how one small yes is going to turn into something big. And so this year, get ready to say yes.
It's truly amazing what God can do when we choose to say yes. And one of the things that I always appreciate is nature. And how many of you saw the moon last week? Did you go out and see it? It was a super moon. It was so bright and huge, and it's not supposed to be like that again until 2037. And when you see things like that, you see the hand of God. You see His creativity. You see how He puts so many individual things into everything for our pleasure. Every one of us is designed different. Every one of us has a gift. You're not a mistake. You were made by God. And today we have the opportunity to come before Him and praise Him and worship Him, because He is worthy of all of that. I am so thankful for each and every person here. You're here because God wants you here, and you're here because He loves you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for making each one of us unique. Thank you for how you work in us, how you help us, how you carry us. Thank you for never giving up on any of us. When we make a mistake, you love us anyway. You are faithful, even when we're not faithful to you. Oh, Father, may this time of us coming together as a unified body be pleasing to you as we serve you, as we worship you, as we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see each and every one of you, and it's good to be in God's house. Well, before we sing our first song, for the Lord this morning. I'm singing from the mountains. I'll see you through the mountains. I believe. begin to call upon you for the strength that they do not have. May they begin to call upon you for the wisdom that they need for the decisions that are before them. May they call upon you, Father, for the peace that surpasses understanding because of all the turmoil and chaos in their life. May they call upon you, Father, for direction. For the Spirit of God is the one who guides us in life. Oh, Father, in all these things and in so many ways, on such a practical level, we can come back and say, yes, it is the Word, it is the power and the presence of Christ within me that gives me the strength, that gives me the wisdom, that gives me the guidance, that gives me the peace to make it another day. An amazing promise that lands right in our laps and right in our hearts on this day. Thank you, Father, for your blessing, for your teaching, for the worship of your church, and for its ministry. Father, we love you. We are grateful for this moment in time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good days. Great weekend. Extended weekend. I hope that's it for you. And glad that you're here this morning. Made your way back here. What a great week. I hope you've had a good week. Just a few highlights here at South Haven. It's been an amazing week. And those of you that are streaming with us online, we welcome you as you come into this worship place, worship center, and experience the love of Christ with us. So thank you for finding us. We had a just 16-year-old young lady come to know Christ in Pastor Victor's office this last week, and that is an awesome thing. She'll be baptized next weekend. And so just little things that are happening along the way. Our fall ministry has begun, our Connection Cafe, and student ministry, kids ministry, Awana ministry, all those things have been launched, Bible studies and things. So we're moving into the fall with that. You saw the video about MOPS, and that's been a really profound and significant ministry, Mothers of Preschoolers, and if that is something that interests you, you sure want to check that out. So that is about to launch here later in the month. Our Upward ministry, I don't know if you're familiar with that, is our basketball and cheerleading that we do for kids. That's about to be, again, that'll start another season coming up here in a few weeks. You'll be hearing more about that. Our Love Loud, you've already heard that a little bit about that as well. So that is moving forward this fall. Love Loud is September the 30th. The bags of blessings are in the back. Please grab one of those bags and fill up a little bit of food and bring it back so we can encourage others. And in all this, this is the ministry of your church. And this is all kind of those things that have launched in the last few days as we are gearing up for fall. But I promise you this, each one of those things all has an individual tie to it. And it is directly about a person that is far from God, is a person that is in need of the encouragement and the love of Christ. It is about being the hands and feet of Jesus and fulfilling the Great Commission. So there is so much embodied in what your church is doing. And I want to say this. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for your involvement in that. Some of you are going to step up and be leaders in some of that, or you already are. Some of you are doing some things on our Wednesday nights, or you're going to be one of our leaders in Upward Ministry coming up. It starts in the late fall and be in early 2024. And I want to say thank you. You're going to be volunteering and helping us with that. Some of you are behind the scenes praying for those ministries, and we covet your prayers and need that. And then there's all this made possible because of you and because of your prayers, your volunteer, and because of your financial stewardship. Your giving allows these things to happen as well. Each one of these is tied to a budget item. Each one of these allows us to do ministry. And each one of these things that I've just mentioned to you is because you serve, because you pray, because you give. Thank you so much for what you do. We appreciate that so much. It is sorely needed. The giving opportunities are before us always. The exit boxes, boxes at the exits, and then southhavenchurch.org/give. And then our Elevate offering, which we are continuing for the next couple of years regarding raising resources for our Jerusalem as we improve the ministry of our church right here, improving some spaces here at South Haven. Something I've done, I'll encourage you to do as well. The book of Luke chapter 10, verse 2 says this, just real quickly, therefore, it says there, Jesus says, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Just reminds us that there are lots of people that are in needing to hear the love of Christ. And here's what I've done. I encourage you to do it as well. I just scheduled at 10 a.m., actually, based on Luke 10:2, at 10 a.m. every day, I've just scheduled a prayer prompt that says, pray for Love Loud. And pray for the laborers in the harvest. Pray for Love Loud. I encourage you to do that as well. Just schedule a prayer in your calendar, or however you want to do that, and just begin to pray. And when you begin to pray for laborers in the why is water wet? You know, that's a good one. You know, I'm not sure about that one either, but I think that stumps me a little bit. But or how does the sun and the moon stay in the sky? Those are really good questions. Or do animals get married? Yeah, there you go. So, you know, you, all these questions, you're probably even thinking in your mind about questions your kids may have asked over the years. You know, I've discovered there was actually a study that's done at the University of Arizona. And you know what they determined is that preschoolers ask anywhere between 100 and 200 questions per day. Yeah, some of you is like, absolutely, and some of you are just worn out. The questions just keep coming. It's those inquisitive minds, and you're the parents, and you should know all the answers, right? And so that's it. But, you know, somewhere along the line, as adults, we kind of figure things out, and because our question answering, asking drops significantly to about 25 or 30 a day as adults. However, we find that questions, they're good to ask. You know, they're only wrong question is the cross question that's been never been asked. You might have heard of that saying. And you know, when we get into the scriptures, we find questions, even in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus, we find recorded, asked about 150 questions. Within those 150 questions, he's just always probing and always asking and always just trying to bring people in a closer walk and relationship with him. And even when we get to the end of the book of John, John even tells us that Jesus said and did far more that's been recorded in this book. And if it was all recorded, the earth, the world, could not contain all the books of what Jesus did and what he said. So what we know is that he asked a lot of questions, more than what's recorded, and it's okay to ask them. That's where we come this morning in these four questions that we should just ask ourselves. These are very practical and very, hopefully, just very foundational and hopefully helpful to you. We find these questions that come out of the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. That's the text we were looking at last weekend. We're going to continue this and finish out this before we get into our next series of messages called What We Believe. September 17th, What We Believe. It's in your bulletin. You can see what that's coming up here in a couple of weeks. Well, let's go back to this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Here's what God's Word tells us this morning. So you honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. And then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. So last weekend, out of this right here, there's two questions emerged out of this. These are the answers. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 is the answers to what we do with our resources. The questions came back. Here was the first one we dealt with last week. What is the purpose of my giving? And that is to honor the Lord. We honor the Lord with everything that we do, including our financial resources and all of our possessions and assets. And then the second question we answered last week is, what is the product or the produce of my giving? And actually, that comes down to with your possessions. That's why we honor him with our stuff. And so we come this morning to finish up verse 9, look at verse 10, and we ask this question is, then what is the priority of my giving? What am I prioritizing when I give? And actually, how am I prioritizing my giving? And the scripture says, and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Some of your translations may say first fruits. We don't use that kind of language a lot today. You know, we don't talk about first fruits. And actually, this is a kind of an agrarian type terminology here. It's about farmland and growing and first fruits. And actually, it goes back to the Israelites giving the first portion of their harvest back to the Lord. And they were offering them. So when they would bring in their first fruits of the crop, actually says everything in the Old Testament is now irrelevant. This is all new stuff. Okay, I'm hearing this. It doesn't do that. Nowhere in the New Testament do we find even this aspect where our giving, using of our financial resources, is not valid. Actually, what we find in Scripture is Jesus affirms it. Did you know Jesus affirms the giving, and he affirms tithing in the New Testament? Matthew 23, verse 23. Listen to what he says. He's talking to the Pharisees. And he says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites," he calls them out. "You are careful to tithe," he uses the word, "even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith." You should, he said, actually, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So here it is, there is a commending. Actually, I don't know if Jesus ever commended the Pharisees on anything else, but he sure commended them here. He commended them for their giving, on their tithing of the smallest of herbs, but he condemns them on neglecting the more important issues or more important matters of the spiritual life. So what we find here is, we understand this. Let's consider the environment in which Jesus grew up in. Do you realize that the only scriptures that Jesus had, there wasn't no New Testament, Jesus was growing up, and as his earthly ministry, the New Testament is actually being written, right? And then after Jesus' ascension, and then the disciples pick up and we have our New Testament book. So what did Jesus grow up on? Well, he grew up on the law. He grew up on the Old Testament. And we know Mary and Joseph were very, very devout in their beliefs, and so they taught Jesus exactly what they knew. And so during all of this, he was practicing. This is what he was taught, what he understands. So Jesus understood that this was a part of his spiritual life growing up in his family. Think about Jesus' earthly ministry when he walked this earth. You know, he was scrutinized by all of his enemies, scrutinized for everything. Actually, in particular, they really got onto him. They really hated him because he always broke the Sabbath. He was always doing stuff on the Sabbath. He was healing somebody. He was taking care of somebody. He was doing something that really caused a lot of problems, and it was very offensive to them regarding what he did. But you realize, never once did he ever get accused of violating a tithe. Why was that? It's because no one was giving, because it was an Old Testament practice and no one was doing that? That's not it at all. But what it was is that even in the Talmud, which is the central text for Judaism, it even says in the Talmud that the strict keepers of the law, it forbid you from dining with any individual who was not a tither. Wow, you can't even have dinner with them. You can't even break bread with them. Yet on several occasions, the Pharisees sat at the same table with Jesus and never condemned him for not giving. Condemned him for everything else, but not this. It just all comes back to this. It's about our first fruits. We've given the first portion of what we have back to the Lord. The first and the best of our income becomes a very biblical thing that should become our priority. It comes down to this then, is that leftover giving. Like, I'm going to pay my mortgage and I've got a car payment and I've got this and I've got this bill and I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to the movies. We've got to eat out. Blah, 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 all the way down. And then anything that's left over, God, I'm going to give that to you. But leftover giving is not what God's Word is telling us here. Actually, he's telling us first fruit giving, giving the first portion of our income, not the last portion of our income. You know, it's similar to this. It's like if you were to be invited into my home for a meal, we were not breaking out the leftovers. Okay, you know what I'm saying? We're going to give you the very best. Leftovers are really good in my house. But we're going to honor you as a guest, and we're going to have you something very freshly prepared. Actually, if you walk in the door, it still may be in the oven, about ready to come out. But it's in the same way, is that, we would not treat our guests by giving them just leftovers and start pulling out stuff out of the fridge and heating it up in the microwave. God is saying, do the same thing and give me your best. Give me your best. Give me your first fruits. That's what he's saying. Sometimes I get the question that when it comes to giving, as people are really earnestly trying to do right and be biblical and do what God is saying, I say, okay, if I'm going to give, what is that? Is that a gross or net? All right, here we go. Is that pre-tax, post-tax? When do you do that? When do you do that in line of your taxes? And so all I have to say is this is the conviction, because Scripture doesn't mean really speak to that other than the first fruits, but here
so this is just an opportunity to gradually build your way into giving. You can get the schedule and what that looks like. Again, this card is available. Also on this card is information about financial counseling. You say, my resources are a mess. I've got lots of debt. I don't know what to do. I can't get things figured out. I can't make ends meet. We have a certified financial counselor here at the church that will meet with you free of charge, begin to help you with that. All you have to do is call the church and let us know. Information is on the card. And then I want you to know, those of you that are thinking about estate planning or anything else about legacy giving, that means you allow your resources to outlive you after God has called you home so that your resources make an impact for the kingdom of God. We have invited Dr. Neil Franks with the Missouri Baptist Foundation to be our guest. He will be here on September 25th, which is a Monday night, and he will be able to answer your questions and help you navigate through some of that. And so just be remembered and put that on your calendar if you're interested. That is a Monday at 6:30. All this information is on this card. What it comes back to is just reminds us that we are giving you opportunities to help you understand about using your resources to honor the Lord with the first fruits and what that looks like. That is actually comes back then answers the question, what is the priority? What is the priority of my giving? It is the very best, the very first with what God has given me. There's one more question. And it comes down to that last part in verse 10. And you just simply, here's what we're always looking for. We're always looking, well, what's in it for me? You know, here's what it says, what is the promise of my giving? Well, there is a promise here. I'm not sure how this gets fulfilled in everyone's life, but I do know what he says here. It says that promise in the giving is barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. It means there is something that God says, you honor me, I honor you. And I'm not sure if this is always going to be tangible. I don't know if this is just spiritual. God grows you in faith. God grows your trust. God grows you closer to him. Or if it's eternal, I kind of think it's a combination of everything. What is the promise of my giving? There's a promise. Completely filled, overflowing. Something here God says, I bring back to you and I honor you for that. I find this kind of depicted in the story of Jesus. You're familiar with the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Actually, when he fed the 5,000, actually, we began to set them down. It says 5,000 men, but we understand that could be doubled or tripled in the number of people, that is. Could be 10 or 15,000 people based upon women and children and what's there. But as he begins to teach them, and then it became the end of the day, he looks at his disciples. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And he says, you guys need to give them something to eat. And do you remember the excuses started coming? They had no idea what they needed to do. The disciples as a whole just begin to say, listen, we're going to send them away. We're going to just send them away, let them go to the towns and villages and find their own food. So they just really didn't want to do anything. It was Philip that came back and said, not even 200 denarii. Actually, 7 months' wages is not enough to feed all these people. He said, I've kind of counted the cost, and it doesn't look like this is even possible, God, so I'm going to, we can't do this. And then Philip, Andrew, the one who talked the boy out of his lunch, he's the one that shows up. And he could have been the hero for the day, but then he had to say something. And he says, but what is this? What is this little lunch among so many? There's so many. This is a little lunch. But you know what? See, you hear the excuses. We don't need to do anything. It doesn't make any sense because actually there's just not enough resources or basically, God, we can't do this. What's this little for some among so many? But you know what happened? The rest of the story is when the lunch was put into Jesus' hands, Jesus did a miraculous thing. And Jesus began to feed and began to take care of all of these people, and they were completely filled, and then there was stuff left over. There was food left over. And what we find here at one point in Matthew 14:18, here's the crux of the whole thing. Jesus simply says, bring them to me. What was the them? The them was the lunch. Bring it to me. And when it got into Jesus' hands, everything was taken care of. I find that to be true in my life. When I take everything that I have and I take God, I'm going to put it into your hands. God, you're going to take care of this. You know why? Because I can be like the disciples and say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. This is too much. God, I can't let this happen. This doesn't make any sense. I can have all my excuses just like the disciples did. But when I just continue to say, God, my resources, my finances, these are in your hands. You're going to take care of this. You're going to multiply this as you see fit and in your way. You know what it's called? It's called Jesus's or God's math. I don't get this math. This is the math they don't teach you in school. It's not a math that finally we get it nailed down and say, I understand this math now, this God math. I don't doesn't make sense. I want to tell you, it doesn't make sense. It's God's math. It never makes sense. But God says, trust me in this. God says, walk in faith in this. God says, honor me with this, and I'll honor you as well. Sometimes we just can't help, but we have to fight through some things to understand this. We understand the promises. We understand the priority. We understand the purpose. We understand all this. But yet, there's these voices that come into our head, these little excuses. These kind of excuses pop up. And you say, well, let me first pay off all my debts. I don't know. If you're debt-free today, you're the anomaly in the room. There's not a lot of debt-free in here. We just need to understand. There's debts. But God comes back and says, even the debts, we have to pay them off. Absolutely. And we have to honor that. But God says, make sure you're honoring me as well. There's an honoring aspect of saying, God, I'm working my way towards this. I'm heavily indebted, but at the same time, God, I want you to know everything that I have and everything that you've given me is because of your blessing and you've lavished upon me these things that I have. Just because we're indebted doesn't mean we cannot honor the Lord. Then we come back and say, oh, I just can't afford it. Sometimes I just can't afford it, but here's where I've landed on this. You know, I believe I'm safer living inside of God's will than living inside of God's will on less than living outside of God's will on more. You know what? I just found that I'm safer there. You say, I can't afford it. You know, I can't afford not to do this. I have to do this because I'm safer. Why? Because I'm in the will of God. Because I'm under His hand is on me and He's taking care of me. And so I choose to live on less inside the will of God than more on outside the will of God. And sometimes it just comes down to fear. I'm afraid of this. I can't do this. It is fear. So we understand fear is the opposite of faith. You know, sometimes we fear the wrong thing. Here's something like this. You know, it's like the fear of going to the dentist must be outweighed against the fear of losing your teeth because of neglect. You know, do you understand? It's like, okay, I can get over my, I need to go to the dentist because I don't want my teeth to fall out. I like how Andy Stanley put it in his little book called Fields of Gold. He said, when it comes to your money, he said, what should you fear the whenever we traveled, we rarely passed by an antique store and without stopping. All right, we're going to stop. We're going to look over the old stuff, and we're going to buy stuff. And we just did that. We gave antiques as gifts at Christmas. So this is what I grew up, is giving these antiques as gifts to my brothers and my brother and my sisters. And so, and then I had a couple of sisters that just loved to bake, and they were always producing wonderful breads and baked goods and stuff out of the kitchen. And I kind of picked up on some of that, and I kind of like to bake, and I know how to do that. I know how to, you know, you put it all together, you put the yeast in, you let it rise, you punch it down, you divide it, and then you let it rise again. I got the whole thing down. I knew all about that. And so here it is. It's like I grew up with the family of antiques, and Amy and I, you know, we love this baked bread stuff without the bread machine, and don't you love that too, Amy? You know what I've done? Here's simply what I did, is I made this gift about me. This is all about me. It had nothing to do with her. It didn't honor her likes. It didn't honor anything about her. But it sure was about what I liked. You know, when I come to this aspect of our giving, I think it's a very similar thing, is that we want to approach financial stewardship, and we want it to be, well, it's about me. It's about what I want to do, when I want to give, when I want to give it, and how I want to do it. But we look back and we have scripture that says, but what about honoring the Lord? See, it has to be more about Him, not just me. And when we make it more about Him, all of a sudden the Word of God is guiding us. we remind ourselves